going to pray for John before he brings his word to us. Father God, I want to thank you for the word you've placed on John's heart to talk around this passage from Daniel this morning and the work that Open Doors does. I pray we'd have open ears and hearts to what you want to say through him this morning. Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that powerful reading. That was very well read and very emotive. Thank you very much. We're continuing our theme of resurrection reality. And this morning, we're looking at persecution. Great, the technology is working. Thank you very much. I'm going to talk and preach from Daniel chapter 3 and draw parallels with the persecuted church today. Jiho vividly remembers the moment she saw her father for the last time. He was dragged away by North Korean security agent who'd ransacked their home. They didn't find what they were looking for in the house, but they did discover a book wrapped in plastic buried in the garden. One of the policemen came inside holding it, recalled Jiho. He kicked over our small table as we cowered in the corner, flinging dishes everywhere, and threw the book down at my father's feet. Jiho never learned precisely whether where her father went that night and what the secret book was. She said my father used to love reading the stories and the sayings out of the book and reading the book to me about a wise man who sat on the mountain and began to teach. Why would a lesson about kindness be so dangerous in North Korea? She asked. Only years later did she recall or realise that book was a Bible. There was another item hidden in Jiho's house that the secret police didn't find. Her father's radio, hidden ironically behind the portrait of the North Korean leaders. In every home, the image hangs in pride of place. My father always found it funny, said Jiho, that the radio, his illegal link to the outside world, was tucked behind an image of Kim Jong-il, she said. One evening, as Jiho was turning the dial, she came across a new radio station. She realised they were talking about the same wise man her father had told her about in the secret book. They called him Jesus. When Jiho made the choice to follow Jesus, she knew that it could cost her everything, her freedom, her life. Every day she counts the cost of that decision. And the same is true for over 365 million persecuted Christians a day. That's one in seven Christians who've decided following Jesus is worth everything. And where is Jesus? He's standing there with them, with Jiho, in the moments of greatest trial. He's there with them in the fire. The Open Doors produces the World Watch List, the 50 most difficult places in the world to be a Christian. It is a reliable, comprehensive ranking of the countries where the persecution of Christians is the most extreme. Last year, 15,000 churches or public Christian properties were attacked or closed. 280,000 Christians were forced from their homes because of their faith. Persecution is growing, but the most amazing miracle of all is that despite that, the church is growing there. This persecution is what Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, experienced in this morning's reading from Daniel chapter 3. Their testimony is remarkably like those of the persecuted church today. It's around 585 BC, over 20 years since Nebuchadnezzar ransacked Jerusalem, taking prisoners into exile. Those with royal connections, which included Daniel and his friends, they're no longer teenagers. that after years of cultural indoctrination in the Babylonian system, they're still refusing to compromise on their faith. Babylon was a cultural hub, pleasure without limits, everything God and his kingdom was not. But these three made a stand. Daniel turned down fine wine and lavish food, food that was offered to the Babylonian gods. He chose a plant-based diet instead. Their names had changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but their hearts were God's. Here in Daniel 3, they're still living a life faithfully serving God in exile in Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are the last ones standing. In fact, they're the only ones standing. For them, they're counting the cost, just like more than 365 million persecuted Christians today. This morning, I want to draw out 3 points from their example. Firstly, only one God is worthy of worship. Secondly, only complete trust in God, no matter what. And thirdly, where's God? He's standing in the fire with his people. Firstly, only one God is worthy of worship. In this passage, we've got a front row seat of a large-scale worship service on a great plain where thousands and thousands of people, the great and good of Babylonian society and empire, are gathering. It's the dedication of Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue. It's 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, and is visible for miles around. It's intended to dethrone God. When the band plays, the people must bow down as a sign of loyalty and worship to this pagan statue. Imagine being a Christian in North Korea today, where the experience is strikingly similar to Babylon. North Korea is yet again ranked number one on the Open Doors World Watch List, the list ranking the most dangerous places in the world to be a Christian. It's been like that for 20 out of the 21 last years. It's dubbed a prison camp nation for its 26 million people. The portrait of the dear leaders hang in pride of place in every home. Their names are among the first words a North Korean child learns. They even utter thanks to them before they eat a meal. In Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea, you'll find bronze statues 72 foot high of Kim Il-sung and Kim Il-sung, the former leaders. They're worshipped like gods. People queue up to bow down and worship them before the statues. But only one God is worthy of worship. That's why North Korean Christians like Jiho defy their dictator and dare to follow Jesus. Incredibly, more and more North Koreans are encountering Jesus and deciding to follow him, knowing what it might cost. Some, like Jiho, are hearing about him through Open Doors radio ministry, broadcast from a neighbouring country. It's reaching thousands of secret North Korean believers every day. North Korean Open Doors underground network outside the country are helping 100,000 North Korean believers with vital food and aid, shelter and discipleship training. Back in Daniel chapter 3, three young men will only worship one God, a far greater king than Nebuchadnezzar. They're willing to defy a dictator. When the music plays, they're the last ones standing. Can you imagine the deadly silence on that plain as the ceremony is brought to a dramatic halt? All eyes are not on Nebuchadnezzar, nor his image, but on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stand up to be counted. They will not bow down to anyone but God. In a furious rage, Nebuchadnezzar demands their worship or they're put into the fiery furnace. Verse 17, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say to the most powerful man on earth, "We don't serve you. We serve our God. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image that you've set up. That is North Korea today. Darren asked me, he said, you've got your flags, bring your flags. So I'll put out the flags from the different countries. I'm sure you'll recognise that, but that's the North Korean flag. That's the first point. I'm moving on to the second point. Secondly, only complete trust in God, no matter what. That is true for Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And it's true for many persecuted Christians today. Let me tell you about one of them. Salah in Yemen, number 5 on the world watch list. I've even got the flag of Yemen here. I'll put that over here so that at least you'll recognise it if it ever comes up on Pointless while you're having the tea during the flags round. Situated at the entrance of the Red Sea, Yemen is on the southern end of the Arabian Peninsula, bordering Saudi Arabia to the north and Oman to the east. Strongly tribal country where it's illegal to convert from Islam to Christianity. Families who do are at great risk of being ostracized, expelled, or even killed by their own families, clans, and tribes. Salah didn't follow Jesus until he left home to study. He heard the gospel for the first time. He was nervous to tell his parents, but discovered that his father was already a Christian, a follower of Christ. Once Salah decided to be a Christian, there was no holding him back. Even though evangelizing in Yemen is very dangerous, Salah and his ministry partner, Fazi, would stand in front of their local mosque and tell people about Jesus. As time went on, they ventured further outside their hometown, visiting various places in Yemen to tell the people about Jesus. Salah and Fazi became known as the crazy guys. They were interrogated and accused of apostasy, of converting from Islam. Soon afterwards, Salah started receiving death threats through text messages or phone calls saying his days were numbered and they'd soon find him. Salah's name was on the list of wanted extremists in Yemen, with people being given a reward for anyone who handed him in to the authorities. Salah had been hiding in a safe house in Yemen for 2 months. Those were difficult days for me, he remembers. He said, I cried in my room for hours. There were days when I was hopeful and strong, and other times when I felt weak, guilty, and depressed. It was during those dark times that I felt God's presence with me. His family urged him to leave the country. But they said, your friends in custody, they've got the phones, they've got all your contact details. One day at the airport, a seller was set to leave Yemen to go to one of the open doors training sessions outside the country. He was arrested and taken to a room for questioning. The authorities asked him, why was he attempting to leave the country? What secrets did he hold? Did he have any relationships with Western governments? To their surprise, Salah said, rather than detaining me, these agents made an amazing proposition to me. They offered me a job with the government persecuting other Christians. Salah refused, but after that, he decided it was wiser to do his training and discipleship online, as well as starting a house church network. 70% of believers in Yemen aren't able to meet regularly for security reasons. House churches online are the only way of Christian fellowship in Yemen. Salah says, we started a church where people could come together, and now we're meeting online to pray, to encourage, to get trained. Today, helped by Open Doors, Salah travels in and out of Yemen, serving 70 Christian families. He says the church in Yemen is living in very harsh conditions. but it's growing no less. We're grateful to your support, he says to the Open Doors supporters worldwide. Without these resources, we wouldn't be able to grow and to serve the church in Yemen. Your prayers are important and giving us strength and encouragement to keep going. If we sit at home and do nothing, we would be safe. But what kind of Christian would that be if we weren't risking our lives for others to know life, he concluded. Finally, and thirdly, where's God? He's standing in the fire with his people. Verse 25, he Nebuchadnezzar said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unharmed, unbound. The fourth looks like a son of the gods. It reminds us that God is present with his people in distress, in the worst of trials, in the midst of the fire of persecution. And wherever we go through, God is with us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, moment of greatest trial, God was standing there in the fire with them. My third story and final one is about an elderly lady who metaphorically stands in the fire regularly. She is from Iran, number 9 on the World Watch List. There it is, I'll put that flag down. Let me tell you about this lady. There were more arrests in Iran last year than in any of the previous years. That's because there are more and more believers in Iran, and they're not afraid to proclaim Jesus. They're paying a huge price. This amazing lady, we will call her Auntie to protect her security, has an incredible ministry. She jumps on and off buses in Tehran, the capital of Iran, and pulls out a book, yes, a Bible. She tends to sit down next to young people, hands them the Bible. They look confused until she opens it at a particular page and passage and says, my eyes aren't so good nowadays. Would you read this? Next, she says, you know, my ears aren't that good either. Can you read a bit louder? They're now reading from the Bible very loudly on the buses in Tehran. When she comes to the bus stop, she says to the young person, I'm getting off, you keep the book. She then jumps on another bus and starts all over again with another Bible. Auntie has been to prison and interrogated many times. Nothing will stop her publicly sharing her faith. The first time Auntie was called in for interrogation, it lasted 4 hours. She called the church, she said, I'm done, come and get me. The believers were stunned. Normally, persecution and interrogation lasts for days and weeks. Auntie said, they told me to stop talking about Jesus. I told them my story, I was very ill, I didn't know what was wrong with me, and I saw Jesus in a dream, and he told me where the sickness was in my body, which prompted me to go to a doctor and then hospital for treatment. She continued her story, adding that all this, that her son, daughter, grandchildren have all come to Christ. Iranian security forces said, that's fine, but just keep it to yourself. Don't share it with anybody. Auntie looked up at them and said, you don't get it. I was sick. I didn't know what my issue was. I saw Jesus in a dream. She starts and tells the story all over again. One day they took her house away. One young soldier went with her and said, go into the house, take out whatever you want. I won't report it before my boss comes. Auntie goes into the house and comes out carrying 2 Bibles. She says to the young soldier, son, I've got all I need, money, gold, all my valuables. You can have it. Her son is in prison for his faith. And as she goes to prison, not only does she see him, she evangelizes the other prisoners who are there. She's lost everything in the world's eyes and yet says, all I have, I owe to Jesus. I love him. I just want to mention briefly a fourth country, because you say, well, all we hear about Open Doors and persecution is the countries that are struggling. Is there any country in the world that's gone through persecution and is now in freedom? Yes, there is one I want to talk about. Those of you who watched the Euros last night will recognise this flag immediately. Iran. I want to tell you very briefly about Albania. Sorry, I'm cracking up. I want to tell you about Albania. In the 1940s, Enver Hoxha, a terrible dictator, closed the borders of Albania in our lifetime for 42 years. And no one could go in and no one could leave Albania. He hated the West. He hated Western fashion, music, radio, anything to do with the West he hated, particularly the church. He closed all the churches, 85% he had knocked down. The 15% that stayed, he used as granary stores. Even the cathedral at Skopje we thought was useless, so he turned it into a volleyball court. He banned Ori in schools. He banned Christian names. He built a museum of atheism in Tirana. 1968, he made world headlines. He said, "I've abolished God. I've made Albania the world's first atheistic state." I went to Albania and I met Berti Dosti, a communist atheist who won the third highest military medal in Albania. He was an army officer and his job was to scan the world's airways and report back to Hoxha, because Hoxha was paranoid 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s that three countries were going to invade Albania: America, Russia and Britain. Anyway, I went to meet Berti Dosti. He scanned the world's airways and never found an enemy signal. But when in 68 Hoxha said, "I've abolished God," galvanised a group of Christians in Rawtenstall, Lancashire, to send a 15-minute programme every night from Rawtenstall to Monte Carlo, where it was beamed in by Transworld Radio for 23 years, not knowing anyone was listening. One night, Berti Dosti heard one sentence: "If you want to find out more about God, listen tomorrow night." "Don't be ridiculous," said Berti. "I'm an atheist, a communist. Enver Hoxha's our God." Next night, all the other army officers around him, one in two, at least a government informer, he put on his headset as normal. They all thought he was going to protect the borders of Albania. But for 15 minutes, he became God's secret listener as he listened secretly to this radio program. When Enver Hoxha died in 1982, Captain Berti Dosti, the atheist communist, became Pastor Dosti and principal of the school, and a pastor of a church which had not only survived through those years of persecution, but is now in part of a growing church. It's an amazing story. It's the book of Acts come to life in our lifetime. You know the story of Jesus when the person couldn't come through the doors because there were so many crowds, so his friend put him on a stretcher and took him up onto the roof and brought him down from the roof. Our Christians of Albania said that is exactly how the gospel came back to Albania. Enver Hoxha closed the walls, but he couldn't close the sky, and it came back thanks to Christian radio. Anyway, few of us will have to worship a 90-foot gold statue or face extreme persecution, but we will be forced to choose between Jesus and the world, our version of Babylon. Will we stand up to be counted and recognize that Jesus is worth everything? These Christians desperately need our prayers to know they aren't alone. We've so much to learn from them, how to stand firm and enjoy God's presence in painful trials. When you hear the stories of Christians like Jiho, Sela and Auntie, it stirs our heart. A question you might be asking is, what can I do to strengthen my family? Here's what you can do, and this is what I'm going to finish with. Stand in the gap and strengthen your persecuted family. Remember what God said in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. "I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap so that I would not have to destroy it." And the most chilling verses in the Old Testament: "But I found no one." What a challenge. Can you and I stand in the gap and give and support the persecuted church? G is for give. Could you consider giving regularly to Open Doors? On the back there, there's a form you can fill in if you want to help and to receive literature and emails from Open Doors. Firstly, G is for give. A is to act. Stay in touch with Open Doors. Get from them regular updates, stories of God's works, prayer points, these magazines and prayers on the table at the back to help yourself and to encourage you to learn more about the Open Doors. P is for prayer. Your prayers can go where you physically can't. If it's the only thing you can do, please pray. Please take a free prayer diary off the stand. Please stand if you're willing and able. Let's just take a moment of quiet to finish. Can we just stand for those who can? I just literally want to have a time of silence. Let us stand up for those who are counting the cost today. Pray for Jiho, for Salah, Auntie, and all they represent. Pray for ourselves to have the courage and the resilience to stand up, to follow Jesus no matter what, even if it means we're the last one standing. Thank you. Please take a seat. Thank you very much for Jiho, from Salah, Jiho and Auntie, and all those persecuted Christians worldwide. And thank you from me and all at Open Doors. God bless you all. Amen.